You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters. In the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet, it gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say, Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Denmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman, we always resisted and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well with you today. Hope you're going to have a good day today, getting a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. Hoping, too, that the weather is accommodating for you to do it, but if it's not, and it has to get done, it will get done, and you'll get it done. But considering that hurricane is coming up this way here in Atlanta for the next day, tomorrow, and Friday, it's going to be, man, crazy. So if you got something to do, you better hurry up and do it, because the sun is out right at this moment. And they said that the storm is moving its way up this way in about sometime in the early afternoon. And then from that point on, it'll be rain. Yeah, it'll be rain and wind, or wind and rain, whichever comes, it's coming at you at the same time. Yeah, okay. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. Timeforanawakening.com. When you go there, top of the page will say podcast programs. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and then there will be programs that are dated and titled for your listening and educational edutainment. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening. Once again, it's this program every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., and all the times are going to give our Eastern times. So tomorrow, Thursday, from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern time, Mississippi on the Move, the Black Liberation Movement with Brother Patrick Lumumba of the Geronimo Pratt Gun Club. Friday at 8 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturday, from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., the Sankofa Elders Council with Dr. Janine. Sunday at 7 p.m., once again, Time for an Awakening for Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. And, of course, if you want to get to our programs as a shortcut, any search engine that you use, whatever search engine that you use, just put in the search, babaoshi.net. BABAOSHI.net, BabaOshi.net. And once again, those programs will be right there for you. We Buy Black. The largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses, WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans. Brother Womani Tayemba has been taking our people across the pond for many years to our motherland. His next trip is November 20th to December 2nd to Kemet. December 24th to January 4th to Azania. And then April 4th to April 14th, 2025, Kenya. I don't know about Kenya, man. Kenya's over in Haiti, and they have boots underground, and they open and fire. It's ugly, family. This is disgusting. Kenya, May 24th to June 5th, 2025, Ghana. November 20th to December 1st, 2025, Tanzania. Now, I shouldn't have said that because there's a Brazil trip and Tanzania trip. I don't know if Brother Bomani has a chance to look at this and correct this because they're the same dates. They're the same dates. But when you go on this website, you'll see there's all kinds of opportunities. There's all kinds of information, everything you need to take a trip of a lifetime, even if you don't go on the trips I just mentioned. If just like when I went to Ghana back in 19, wow, 5 years ago, man, time is flying. And, you know, I got the information, the paperwork, the shots and so forth. All that information was right there for me. So appreciate Brother Bomani Tahimba. Africa for the Africans. If you want to see pictures of previous tours, go to facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos of previous tours, go to youtube.com/Bomani 2007. Africa for the Africans.org. Habesha. Habesha Incorporated, brothers and sisters. The festival is October 12th, coming up soon in Ghana. Save the date. October 12th. All right, October 12th. And you go to the website and you see all kinds of good stuff here. For Habesha, helping Africa by establishing schools at home and abroad. The Ledge Group, Ledge, Land for the Environmental Development of Group Economics. The Ledge Group. They have 12 projects in 6 different countries with over 172 employed, over 260 members, excuse me. And, of course, they deal in the area of human necessity, of human essential, which is food, water, clothing, and shelter. The Ledge Group, Land for the Environmental Development for Group Economics. Brother Nathaniel Jordan, who is the Minister of Wellness. The Minister of Wellness family. Go to his website, theministerofwellness.com. Theministerofwellness.com. He has a great selection of products. I believe he may still be in Kenya. He's doing good work in Kenya. Okay. And the other one that we deal with is Smile Pharmacy, SmiFarmacy. Smile Pharmacy, Brother Jabril and his beautiful wife. Man, he has really expanded. His website was down probably because he added more products, and it looks like he has. So you need to go to his website, which is smilepharmacy.com. SmiFarmacy.com. SmilePharmacy.com. You can give him a call at 770-765-7751. That's 770-765-7751. Smile Pharmacy. The Moses West Foundation. Always pushing and promoting the Moses West Foundation, the great work that they do. Brother Apollo. Yeah, go to the website, themosesweftfoundation.org. The Moses West Foundation.org, because access to water is fundamental to life and prosperity, serving as a cornerstone for public health, economic development, and sustainability of our global ecosystem. The Moses West Foundation. They have developed and implemented the Atmospheric Water Generation Technology, AWG, Atmospheric Water Generation Technology, to provide water, sanitation, and hygiene solutions worldwide, ensuring communities have access to essential services for health and well-being. That's right, brothers. They can put a machine down. It'll take the water molecule, the H2O, out of the air, separate the good from the bad, and then
go through a filterization process, turn on a tap, and out comes clean, usable water. Ashe. Well, Dada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located here in Atlanta, in the West End of Atlanta, on Ralph Debert Avenue, Anthony Boulevard. Well, Dada's has delicious smoothies and fruit drinks, health foods. They have vegan dinners on Saturday and Sunday. They have dry goods, all kind of good stuff at Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, Mama Nia. She has a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, T-shirts, figurines, and so much more. Check her out or give her a call. If you have a book that you're looking for, give her a call. She may have it or she can definitely get it for you. Believe me, I know. 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. The other bookstore we promote is the Black Dot Cultural Center Bookstore and Coffee Bar, located in Lithonia, which is east of Atlanta, right off of I-20. Take I-20 going east towards Augusta. Take exit 74. Make a left. Now you're going north for about a mile. And on the left will be the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar with my good brother Gazende Ajamu. That's the proprietor. Give him a call at 770-305-6373. 770-305-6373. There is light in the Black Dot. Jump back in your ride and head back the other way. Now you're going south, but you're going to make a left again. Now you're still going east. The next exit, exit 75, Turner Hill Road. Take the exit 75, make a right. Three lights. Make another right, and on the left will be the new Black Wall Street Market. The new Black Wall Street Market. Yes, they're still doing it. I hope and pray they can continue to do it, and it starts to develop and grow. You know, but I've said on this program a few times, I wish there was a plan that way to make it happen from Jump Street. We'll see. The new Black Wall Street Market. Check it out for yourself. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for Our People, tomorrow from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. tomorrow night on blogtalkradio.com/ULU, Us Lifting Us. They have their Thursday night broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. You can call to listen or call to give your questions, comments, or concerns by dialing 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for Our People. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop located in Macon, Georgia. Brother Abijah's got it going on. He's open from Tuesday through Sunday, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m., 11 a.m. to 8 p.m., Tuesday through Sunday. He's got it happening, man. He's packed everything into that area that he has, man. Brother Beecher, the Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop. Yep. So, Akabin Institute. No. Before I go to Akabin. Sun Goddess Scent. Sun Goddess Scent, your one-stop natural shop located at 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia, inside the International Discount Mall, booth 225. And the number to call is, give Shirley Amundsen a call at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. Sun Goddess Scent, your one-stop natural shop. And sanjay-iet.org. Sister Gabrielle Aurelia is doing great work with the children in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti near the border of Dominican Republic. Yuck. But in that particular area, in the hills of Haiti. And, of course, they rely on the goodness and the generosity of brothers and sisters like us who will be willing to, make a donation, a consistent donation to sanjay-iet.org. I give you that email, that website address to go see for yourself. See for yourself what great work they're doing. Akabin Institute. That's right, Akabin Institute. Uh, Yes, Mama Yam, Baba Baruti. They're celebrating the 25th year of the, as we celebrate our 25th academic year, we humbly give thanks for your support that has greatly contributed to this milestone. As usual, we invite you to our upcoming events and ask that you please share our flyers and with others who may be interested. Again, we thank you for your ongoing support of our work and for your work on behalf of our people. Ashe. Abibi Fohodie. Mama Ya and Baba Baruti. Yeah. And so, and they have this academic school year. This is the fundraiser next month, October, coming up. We humbly give thanks that this is our 25th school year, a blessing that we know is a village achievement. As we look forward to our annual fundraising month, we ask for your continued support in keeping with 25 years. Donations in the 25s, 25, 50, 75, that, you know, would be fitting, but all amounts are greatly appreciated. Ashe. Baba Baruti, Mama Ya. They have in November 3rd, Saturday, November 3rd, say the date, it's a sister circle, sexual healing, a sister circle. They didn't have nothing, I don't see anything for their brothers. But I know there's a skills training, includes measuring and cutting wood, but there's a skills training that they have next month. More to come, let you know, no doubt. All right. Akabin Institute. So if you wanted to donate, you can use PayPal, YaBaruti at yahoo.com. You can use Cash App, $ Yah, YAA, the letter M, and then Baruti, BARUTI, to make those ongoing donations. All right. The Inyasasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. I got my co-host waiting. My good brother Irv. We're going to chop it up today. And of course, you're welcome to join us by dialing 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. The Inyasasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. September 24th. Dad asked me if I remember when I used to get up every Sunday morning and go out and watch Mr. Jimmy win money from people who were dumb enough to go hunting for a pea that wasn't there. I told him I remember. Then he asked me if I knew what a fool was. I said, a fool? It was somebody who was stupid. Dad said I was right. But there was more to it than that. He said it takes a stupid person to keep looking for something that is never there. Claude Brown. Everything needs not to be explained or re-explained. Wise warriors know to whom they speak and how to think outside of a hostility-inducing, arrogance-soothing box. They do not waste time answered questions reworded to waste their time in trying to convince themselves or others that this popularized form of argumentation and debate is anything more than entertainment. Yes, there are such things as dumb questions, questions into which no deep thought was placed, questions into which intelligence is misplaced. Yes, there are such things as agents, both employed by Urugu State and volunteers, who see their primary role as injecting themselves into every civilized discussion in an effort to protract it endlessly among warriors who still misdefine work as displayed. Yes, there are such things as individuals who use the color of their skin as a ticket to create chaos so that progression is severely undermined by regression. Warriors are not stupid. They do not look for sanity where it does not exist. They do not expect the enemy to not be involved. They know that there is righteousness is neither the carriers of menticide nor the attractors of genocide. Affirm, I am nobody's fool. Ashe. Affirm, I am nobody's fool. September 25th. Do your children know that our ancestors brought math to the world? Science, philosophy, God consciousness, the arts, literature, governance? Can they give examples? Provide evidence? Can you? Baba Amin. Science must be returned to its spiritual chamber so that questions and empirical activities that elevate the human condition can fully be asked and answered. Our children must be taught that their mission is to return it to an African level of consciousness and righteousness in the service to gaining and sustaining African sovereignty. They have to be made to understand that there is a reason why it sits at its historical nerd today. Urugu had to remove spirit and life from it, though the view they call objectivity in order for them to come into authority and power. The idea of anything being normal or had to be permanently suspended so that anything's scientific replacement would be embraced and even preferred over its original natural state of existence. They have to be made to understand that science is a tool in service to the peoples applying it. And they, as scientists, have a duty and responsibility to return the God consciousness to its rightful place in our scientific study in order for us to think and speak as Africans. Doing this will make our ancestors' intellectual qualities more apparent and therefore the intellectual aspirations of our children grander. Finally, science must be explained as politically guided. It has never been politically neutral. Even in the scientific minds which speak as humanity and has them, the scientific questions our children grow to ask and answer must first and foremost reflect the mentality in the interests of our people. Ashe. Affirm, my children know who they are. Affirm, my children know who they are. But I'm going to tell you, our children are bombarded 24/7, 365 with images and notions of who they are not. And that becomes very detrimental to us, and believe me. My friend and my partner just got an acknowledgement. It says here, we found strength in understanding that we stand on the shoulders of generations of educators, scholars, activists, and community members who have forged the path for us. We find home places in the knowledge passed down from our parents and grandparents. The lessons we learn from American African educators and the words of American African academics like Gloria Boyette, Carol Brunson Day, Anne McLean Terrell, that's my friend, that's my lady, and Jerlene Daniel. The work of community organizations who advocate for African education, like the Bond Project in Maryland or the True School in Wisconsin, remind us that home places can and should be sites of resistance that actively work to eradicate oppressive educational experiences for American African children. Ashe, she's being recognized as a sister who works on behalf of our people, to educate our children, especially young children. Thank you. Let me see, where am I? Oh, I know where I is. Brother Irv, good morning. I guess I took too long. He fell asleep or he doing something else.
Baba Oshie, good morning.
How are you, man?
I know where I is.
I know. Yeah. I know where I is. What's happening, brother?
Oh, everything's good. It's good to hear your voice this morning. It's like the sister says, grand rising.
That's right.
I love when she says that.
Yeah.
When she calls in.
Yeah.
Bob Oshie, you hit on some great points this morning. Just in speaking, just a while, just since you've been on the air, you hit in some great points. I was you were saying something about the education about children. Think about this, Baba Oshie. Say, God forbid, one of your parents were to die and they had some jewelry and some clothing. And think if someone came to your house and said, they're going to take that jewelry and clothing, we're going to put that in a museum. And for you to see it, you have to pay us to come look at it. That's what Arugu has done to Africa.
Yeah.
The Africans go to England and they look at the artifacts and all the things that come from Africa that they stole. And then they charge you to see it right out in the open. Is that arrogance or is that arrogance?
Oh, to the nth degree. When you consider all the things that they've stole, that's why to me, the newsletter that I sent out, the African World newsletter, the War Report, it has a section in there of those who the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank, the IMF and the World Bank say, owe them. And of course, there's a lot of countries that are not African, but most African countries owe them anywhere from hundreds of millions to over $1 billion. And I say, we don't owe them shit. We don't owe the International Monetary Fund, the World Bank, nothing. When you consider how much has been stolen and raped and how they have done us in terms of denigrating us, dehumanizing us. No, we don't owe them nothing. In fact, that's the move for us to reclaim our sovereignty, to reclaim our land, to reclaim our education and our minds, So that's the effort.
Baba Oshie, that's the arrogance of Arugu. Even with Amos Wilson said, I dare talk about the irony of where the white man sits down and determines the destiny of the world that is over 90% colored.
That's
arrogance. That's total arrogance. But see, but when you have a people, you said the War Report. If you notice, if you ever look at CNN, this guy called it, this guy Wolf called it the war desk. Because see, white people know they're at war.
Mm-hmm.
They know that this thing is crumbling. And they use the correct terminology. But American Africans, as we get educated, we try to find our salvation in being educated by the very people that destroyed us in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We believe that this education will take us where we want to go. But the education is an education. It keeps you ignorant. It's because producers are who move the world. The countries that produce. I saw that the Burkina Faso's coup started in 2022. That's then when they in September 2022. And what was the first thing that Ibrahim did? He removed the French military because he knows that these people, and he has four spies right now that he's proven to be spies, and what he's going to do with them, I have no idea, but he hasn't given them back to France yet because he understands that they're coming for these countries that have tried to have true independence. Because neocolonialism is when you're still using their money, you're still giving them this sweetheart deal that they have. And IMF and the World Bank are just exploiting Africa and other countries. They're exploiting them. So in this game of geopolitics, I think Africa has a resurgence of Pan-Africanism. I heard that on that term the other day on the internet, a resurgence of Pan-Africanism, because most of the places in Africa, Chad, Mali, Niger, they're taking their minds back. The first thing you can take back is to nationalize your mind, because that's your resources. Mm-hmm. And as Amos Wilson said once again, the future belongs to those who claim it, that are bold enough to claim it. Let's put it like that, because Baba Oshie, even in this country, talking about something that's not popular, you will be ostracized. And everything that's popular ain't right, but everything right ain't popular.
Yeah.
So you want to, and this, where did we get this be on the right side of history? When you have confused the history, when you shot the nose off of statues, where you've hidden books and you come in with a Bible and leave with all the land, you know? So my point is, Baba Oshie, our eyes are, I'm so optimistic for Africans.
Yes, I am too.
I am too, brother.
Yeah.
To a point where some people look at you and go, man, you're dreaming, man. You're in a fantasy. All is lost. If all was lost, why are we still here, Baba Oshie?
Mm-hmm.
This is one of the youngest countries in the world, I believe, the United States.
Youngest country in terms of the year it came into existence to what it is now.
Correct.
You're right about that. You know.
But it was here.
Population. That's why they're trying to get others to come here, not immigrants who are of color, but other immigrants from Europe and so forth, because they need the youth, or they need to increase the age or decrease the age of the country. Instead of the mean age being in their 30s or damn near 40, they want the age to be in their 20s, you know, because Africa is one of the, on the continent of Africa, that is the youngest population in the world.
That's correct.
In the world.
That is correct.
So the potential for growth is tremendous, you know?
No, you're absolutely correct. And I'm telling you, Baba Oshie, I keep saying this and I truly believe it. The trump card here, what supersedes everything, is this damn internet. This information highway is so amazing. I can talk to, remember, Baba Oshie, we used to look at the Jetsons, the cartoon,
the white folks,
he look at his boss, he turn on the TV and look at his boss and talk to him.
Yeah.
And we thought that was hee-hee, ha-ha. But Baba Oshie, I can do that right now.
Right.
There's someone.
I can do that again. Around the world.
Yeah.
You can go on WhatsApp and talk to a brothers and sisters in Africa.
Right now.
Right now. Exactly.
Isn't that amazing? And that right there, Baba Oshie, tells you and shows you that this internet is a game changer.
Mm-hmm.
And we have embraced it as black. As a matter of fact, hell, Africans are the ones that invented it. To tell you the absolute truth, there's nothing that American Africans didn't have their hand in when it comes to inventions, if you want to go down that road. But no, this internet changes it, Baba Oshie, because we don't have to wait for the information. And we can tell, Baba Oshie, I look for African stories on the internet. I belong to a bunch of channels, and I listen to people talk about Africa all day, every day. Mm-hmm. Then I turn on the NBC, ABC, CBS, and I don't see anything about Africa.
Right.
It does not exist.
Yeah.
They're doing, unless he goes over and asks them to take, you know, to, we're going to give you sanctions if you don't take on this ideology of homosexuality. But, you know, Africans understand that Urugu wants to destroy the family. Once you destroy the family, the man, woman, and the child, the rest of it can't survive. Mm-hmm. If you notice, even in their book that they give you, Adam and Eve, we're talking a family. We're talking everything revolves all religions. I got a book they call Before Christianity. Religion Before Christianity or something to that effect. That book was telling me how all the religions are similar. All of them have a savior, a resurrection. They all follow the same game plan. But all these things were done in Africa before the Bible was even put together.
Yeah.
Baba Oshie?
Yeah.
So, and you know, I looked at even the Constitution, for what little of it that I've read, it was not thought up by Jefferson and Benjamin. These things were done. France had wrote a lot of these things down before, so they had a template. It wasn't that these people were super, super smart. It's like when you look at the symbolism that this country that we have us living under, the symbolism is subliminally keeping you enslaved.
Yeah.
When you look up at Mount Rushmore, you don't see nobody that looks like you up on Mount Rushmore. When you look at the money that you use every day, you don't see anybody that looks like you on the money. And you just started seeing us on TV, but when you see us on TV, we have to be killing, shooting, homosexual, something in a derogative mean. And then when they do give us in a positive light, Baba Oshie, they overdo it. See, there's no balance in Arugu's evilness, because Arugu has an agenda. His agenda is to get rid of you. I need you to go. And if we all as a people just got up and left, I don't think that'll ever happen. That'll ever happen because of, like you said the other day, meritorious manumission. You know, that's why you have J.L. Hughley arguing with Janet Jackson, because, you know, we have to do that in public, because this is what Arugu expects of us, to argue with each other and put each other down. I would never put my brother down because I disagree with him.
From what I've heard, that she went that direction on the candidate with Harris.
Yeah,
she went that on Kamala Harris, because Kamala Harris, when she was with, talked about Michael Jackson and said that Michael Jackson actually was a pedophile and he did whatever he was alleged to do. And so out of that, you know, I guess Janet Jackson had some deep disdain and some ill feelings about her, which of course I would agree. But although she's a prosecutor, you know, she's an attorney. And so if she believed that, she should have kept that shit to herself, you know. And now you can see the dissension that it has caused. And so D.L. Hughley, finding out what Janet Jackson has said, that, you know, which is not true. Her father is Jamaican. Her father is African.
Okay.
Jamaicans are African.
Okay.
Okay.
That's true.
Yeah. So her father is African. Her mother is Indian. She identifies with being American African. That's how she identifies. She went to Howard University. She pledged there. She's done a number of other things. She aside from marrying this European Jew, you know, most of the men that she associated with were American African as well. You know, so she put that out there, and so Janet Jackson, I guess, had to say something about it. I think it's ill. The timing of what she's saying is, but it is what it is.
Well, let's be clear too. What people don't know is that she grew up in Canada. She went to high school in Canada.
Okay.
She went to middle school in Canada, and then she came down and went to Howard for a few years. And she can identify, according to Caucasians, you can identify as a goat if you want to. I mean, if a man can put on a dress and be a woman, and I'm obligated to call him that, or I lose my pension, then you can identify as anything you want. You had a white lady saying she was black. She was running NAACP.
Yeah.
She was president.
Yeah. So
she can identify anything she wants to be.
Yeah.
And you are bound to respect it when you work in someone else's job, or you work for Arugu, or work in a place where they control it. So they're forcing you to say these things, but that's not necessarily true. I know he's a man in a dress. I don't give a damn what he says. He's not, come on now. But she identifies as black, and when she feels like it, and that's fine. And I will look at her, whatever. I'm not voting for either one of them, so.
Yeah.
But I do get to have a say because I pay taxes.
Right.
So I think that's the whole thing right there. I pay taxes on my money when I make it. I pay taxes on my money when I spend it. Even if I save it and then spend it, I pay taxes again.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I pay tax on my tax.
You know? You do, man. You done pay taxes. Now you go out and buy something, you're going to pay some more taxes. And even if you let it lay there, you're going to pay some other taxes. Man.
That is nothing but the truth. If you learn that,
if you're a marginal person in this society, you'll pay tax. But if you're super rich, you pay no taxes.
Correct. Oh no! Donald Trump bragged about it.
Yeah,
he didn't pay any taxes. And these people are so fanatic; they're still voting for him.
Yeah, when he won the election in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
And did not show his taxes and still hasn't. They ain't made it an issue, but that should be a damn issue. You should, as a candidate for the presidency of this country at least show 3 years of taxes. At least 3 years of taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't do it, you can't run.
That's right.
And this man still hasn't done it. You know, the criminality of this whole situation, Brother Irv, is just ridiculous. Ooh. It's ridiculous. Ooh. It infuriates me because why people are acting like this man should be justified in doing what he's doing when he has been a criminal from damn near day one. When this asshole came on the scene, he's been a lying criminal son of a bitch all of that time, you know? And so now here it is, and there's a plethora of things. I played that piece with Robert Reich talking about the 10 worst things that Trump has done. Which already went from 10 to 75, and you can go to 100, really. You know, even though they're bites, but you can if you want to challenge them, they're true. The majority of them are true. If there's something in there that he said that there's a little ambiguity there, so be it. But the base what he's saying is true about man, and yet they act like this man deserves to be treated as a presidential candidate. He was president before, and even while being president, the stuff that he did was truly non-presidential, and he was a laughing stock on the world stage. There should be no way in hell that this man should be running for anything, let alone the highest office in this country. It's ridiculous.
When Arugu has conditioned a lot of my people, not all of us, conditioned you to accept truth out of the mouths of a liar. Come on now.
Yeah.
When someone tells you a lie, Baba Osho, when you tell me something that's blatantly a lie, you basically lose credibility with me.
Mm-hmm.
You do. I don't believe anything that you say, and I question it. But this man has told people blatant lies. And so this is the part that's getting me. They're making a big deal out of eating the dogs. He said, well you're eating, they're eating dogs. He got so upset when she said his crowd size was small. He thinks she was talking about his penis. He was mad for real. He was mad. Yeah. And they're eating dogs. But this is the same guy that said drink bleach.
Yeah.
This is the same guy that said, stand back. I want y'all to follow me. He said so many things. So it's not about personality. It's not about not liking him. It's about him not being a manager, not being someone who can lead. He's a bully.
Right.
And no one likes a bully, Baba.
Exactly.
Oh, see, I grew up with bullies.
Yeah.
I had to fight my way through high school.
Sure.
I was scared to death, but I would fight. I was fighting. I'd run some days. Well, most days I'd run because I was pretty fast. But I would fight. And he appears to be a bully, and that's somewhat. But that's not a strong man. A bully is a scared person. It's not a strong person. I think they have a confusion to think he's a strong man.
No, he's not.
No, he's not. You think he looks strong to you because you're weak and you want to follow. You are a follower, and I understand that. Some people are going to do the work, and some people are going to be the supervisor. And I understand this is how capitalism works, which is an evil. To me, I don't like capitalism as much as most people do, but capitalism, someone has to be exploited. Someone has to.
That's the thing about capitalism. In order for those people who now become billionaires, there's a whole lot of people who can't literally have nothing. That's why you see our guy, Nichols.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that asshole.
Oh, my God.
Nichols.
Oh, my God.
You know, talking
that
about.
That one right there.
If we ever see this
one here.
We're going to give him a beat down because he deserves it. He deserves a damn beat down for sure. His arrogant ass. We must keep Africa poor.
Howard Nichols. We must keep Africa poor. We must make sure Africa never has the ability to produce anything. You mentioned something about production a while ago,
yeah.
You know, how important mm-hmm. that is. And one thing mm-hmm. they want to make sure is that Africa never produces anything that they can sell, or they can sell to even their own people, because they want Africa to be poor. They want Africa to be destitute so they can take their resources.
In the United States, you can get in your car and you can drive from New York and take Route 66 and go all the way to California. In Africa, in order to go from one side of the continent to the other, first of all, it's a long way. Second of all, you have to pay tolls. You have to go through your passports.
Yeah.
And all because they don't have an infrastructure of roads or a transportation system. Now, Urugu's been over here, United States and all Germany and France, and all these countries have been there for years, but they never built factories or built roads. And when they did, Baboshi, you stated on the show that they tear them up.
Yeah.
When they left, they tore the roads. They tore them. What?
Yes.
Because they were not
there to do that for the benefit of the people of those countries, even though they carved it up, sliced it up in so many pieces, and the boundaries and so forth to 54 so-called sovereign, because they're not sovereign countries.
No.
But what they did is that they had no infrastructure. All this was about, they're going to put a railroad from the site of mining, whatever they're going to be mining, usually it's gold or silver, whatever, and diamonds, mm-hmm. and to a port, so they can get them out of the country, put them on a boat, and sail them to Europe, sail them to Switzerland, sail them to Belgium, and so forth. European countries have become rich. In fact, the arrogance of Europeans is so deep that they call themselves a continent. And I just saw that question the other day, and it infuriates me, because it is not a continent, even by their definition. Europe is not a continent, but because Europe is rich and Europe dictates globally, I say it's a continent. It's what I say. I don't give a damn if it's not. It's what I say, you know. So there has to come a point for us, Brother Irv. And that's why mm-hmm. we have this program, and that's why organizations like, you know, the Pan-African Federalist Movement and other organizations that really want to bring into existence African sovereignty, African independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty, and mm-hmm. understanding how vitally important that is for our development and growth and our future as a people, you know. So, you know, it has to...
You're absolutely right, Robert Oshie. It's so important. It's so important that we as a people become producers, and that Francis Quest Wallstein said something that was so simple, but it was just so important. We and Neely Fuller said it, because that was one of
Jegna.
He was our Jegna.
Right.
And she said, we have to stop arguing with each other in public. We have to stop it. I've never seen Louis Farrakhan argue with any other black person in public. I've never seen leaders don't do that. Real leaders don't do that. And regardless of how upset you are with the person, there's a time and a place for everything.
Right.
But to get on the internet and say Janet Jackson is breathing through a white woman's nose.
That was that shit was funny.
That was funny. Oh my gosh, her whole family married white women.
Oh yeah, and man, their whole family had a nose job, man.
Well, cheaper
by the dozen.
When you fall prey to an organized religion, you may find yourself snake charming or something.
Yeah.
Because these religions that we have here in this country are so, they take over your mind to the point where you sell everything you own.
Yeah.
And you move to Guyana or Ghana or wherever they move to in South America and drink Kool-Aid from a white drug addict.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Yeah.
So, you know, Religion is a very powerful thing. You got people that kill themselves. Mm. Talking about they going up. And they, it's a whole religion. It's something that is so powerful and can be, and it's so weaponized. You know, like I told you before, as soon as I got off the plane in Senegal, I went to a church and I saw a white Jesus up on the wall.
Yeah,
you know, and that took me somewhere. It really took me somewhere. But I was able to understand the neocolonialism that was happening. It looked on the outside, it looks as if they're free. Because they have what they call independence, but it's really not independence.
No.
In the United States, this is the part that bothers me, Baba Oshie. The United States knows this. We're not stupid. We know that Germany, Belgium, France are in Africa raping them, but the United States doesn't say anything about that. They act as if, I mean, just like South Africa just came, did a YouTube and said that they're upset for the apartheid that's going on in Palestine. And that they and but the United States is saying nothing because the United States is supplying the weapons. So Baba Oshie, if they come for them today, they come for us tonight.
That's right.
I'm telling you, Ruku this is not something they just thought about doing. These are things they're 20 years down the road. But let's be perfectly clear, Pan-Africanists are 20 years down the road. We're not nationalists and Pan-Africanists. We don't think in terms of the day. We think of yesterday and we talk about it, but that's the build for tomorrow.
Yeah.
See, we boldly take our future, but don't get it twisted. We're not stupid. We understand who we are and where we're from.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't, this is the part that when I was talking, I read a few books, so I know a little bit about history, and I told people about, well, you think you know everything.
No.
And that's a defense because you can't say I'm wrong because you haven't read it, but I'm not smarter than you. I'm no smarter than you. You can read a book just like I read a book. Read a couple books. But, you know, our people, when we don't know something, we get defensive because it's comfortable to live in a Rugo's world.
Yeah.
You get
manumission. Yeah, they make it such.
The comfortability.
Mm-hmm.
I want a big car, Baba Oshie. I want a nice big house with a game room and all that stuff. But Baba Oshie also can't rise any higher than the condition of my people.
Right on.
And I'm not going to sit here and wait for Sally Struthers to go and find some big stomach Africans. Come on now. For 3 cents a day, you can feed 13 families. Huh? You can't. So that's all that was BS. I see it as BS now. But then, Baba Oshie, I believe that.
Mm-hmm.
I said, white folks show in saving us. They show is helping us.
And they're I swear.
Helping them. They're helping themselves.
And that's everything they do. That's their motive. How
that's
they can
correct.
Benefit it. Can it put a good light on me? Can it make me feel more humane than I am while I continue to do the dirty shit that I do? That's how it goes.
And who said we need aid? We don't need aid. I don't, when I hear these young men who get these contracts with the NFL and the mm-hmm. NBA, and they get the contract and they get up to the mic, they start asking them questions. Yeah, I'm gonna buy my mother a house and I'm gonna take care of my family. And all they say is I'm going to be a better consumer.
Mm-hmm.
I've never heard one get up and say I'm gonna go to my financial advisor and we're gonna start some businesses.
Right.
We're gonna try
housing.
You know,
some housing
or
something
I'm going
like
to build my neighborhood back up and sell houses to my friends and family. We never say that.
Mm-hmm.
We always in a consumer mindset.
Oh yeah,
and we're fine from. With that.
Oh, of course, because we are a targeted consumer group. That's who we are. Like I'm saying, just as Howard Nicholas said, I don't want you developing anything. I don't want you producing anything. I want you to buy. I want you to find out who you can buy from. I'm gonna take a break. We got a number of people holding on. So when we come back from the break, we'll get into some questions.
That's going to be fun.
Yep.
Let's do it.
And so
I'm holding on.
This is African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Our break time, we're going to go to Brother Benny Golston, man. Benny Golston passed. I've had Benny Golston played some of his music on program before. He was a brother who played saxophone, born in 1929 and died a few days ago. Just a few days ago. Yeah.
He was part of that jazz, hard jazz, bebop. Tenor saxophone composer and arranger. He became prominent in the big bands of Lionel Hampton and Dizzy Gillespie, as well as a writer and performer, launching his solo career. Yeah. Gosen was known for the co-founding and co-leading the Jazzette with trumpeter Art Farmer. In 59, from the late 1960s through the 70s, Gosen was in demand as a arranger for film and television, and thus was less active as a performer. But he and Farmer reformed the Jazzettes in 1982. Benny Gosen. And, of course, some of the standards. I remember Clifford Brown, who died in an auto accident. He made a tribute to him. Blues March, Stable Mates, Whisper Not, Along Came Betty, and, of course, Killer Joe. We're going to play Killer Joe for you. Born in Philadelphia in 1929, Gosen began taking piano lessons at the age of 9 before switching to the saxophone when he was 14, when he saw Lionel Hampton's band featuring Arnett Cobb on tenor sax at the Philadelphia Earl Theater. While a student at Benjamin Franklin High School in Philly, he played with several other promising young musicians, including John Coltrane, Red Garland, Jimmy Heath, Percy Heath, Philly's Joe Jones, and Red Rodney. He later attended Howard University. Man. So I'm not going to give all his bio, but believe me, Brother Gosen deserves the accolades. Brother Benny Gosen. So this is his piece, Killer Joe.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com. Thank you.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Benny Goldston, he died in his home at Manhattan in New York on the 21st of this month at the age of 95. Man, he played with the greats, all of them. Jazz messengers, Art Blakey, you name it, he played with them all. We're going to go to the phone lines. And once again, 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. My guest host, and as always, is Brother Irv, Irving Lewis. How you doing, dear brother?
I'm right here, brother.
Right on.
I didn't know that an American African created Killer Joe. That was interesting, Brother.
Yeah, yeah.
That was interesting.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. He did a lot of good work for a lot of artists. Benny Goldston. Mm-hmm. I played him a few years ago because of the work that he did. So, let's open up on the phone lines. Brother Kevin, how you doing?
Doing well, brother. Doing well.
Right on.
Welcome,
yeah,
Brother Kevin.
Yeah, he's a great man. Have you listened to by the Jazz Messengers? Matter of fact, have you listened to the version of Killer Joe that Charles Erlen has done?
I can't say that I have.
Charles Erlen. It's okay. A killer. That's before Grover. That's when young Grover was on that.
Okay.
I'll YouTube it to you so you'll have it.
Cool.
Yeah, so you don't have to look it up. But yeah, he also did, I remember Clifford.
Yep.
And yeah, Freddie Hubbard on that. Yeah, was Freddie Hubbard on that one too?
Clifford Brown. I'm not sure.
It sounds like him, a muted Freddie Hubbard, but I could be wrong. But he was a great man.
Yeah, Freddie Hubbard had a strong trumpet.
He's my favorite trumpet.
Is he?
Man.
Okay.
Freddie? Okay. Oh, man. I saw Freddie several times, man, and he was something else.
Yeah.
He's something else. He give you a great show all the time. There's many, sometimes I saw him, he'd be so loaded, I thought he was going to fall down. but brother would deliver every time.
Mm-hmm.
Every time. So anyway, I won't get out of here. But the music is great and your show is great, like always. And yeah, I did send you a YouTube of this brother down here. I text that to you.
Okay,
I told you I was going to send you some music.
Yep, and I gave you some props on that. Thank you. Thank you, dear brother.
All right, then.
All right. Take care, Kev. Have a good day, brother.
All right.
Peace.
Bye-bye. Kevin, thank you for your call.
Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. Mama Nabantu, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good. Are you ready for the vibration on Saturday?
Yes, I am.
Yes, I am.
I'll be on time.
Yeah, we got to stop time because the church has two other events taking place simultaneously, and it's a huge campus. So we'll be on one side, they'll be on another.
Oh, really?
So,
oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, definitely.
That they can tell us about.
Now, what time do you need me to be there?
If you can get there a little before 12, that would be great.
Okay, I will. I'll be there before 12. That's
all
for
right.
Sure.
Okay, so I'm trying to get our souvenir book together.
I'll get the details from you. But go ahead, talk about the Collard Green Festival. Give us some good information about the Collard Green Festival so the brothers and sisters who are listening from the area can make sure that they can make it to the Collard Green Festival. And for those who are not, well, hey, you won't have a chance to get some of that delicious collard green ice cream. That's right, I said it. Collard green ice cream.
we're trying to get Brother Juanique at WRG to broadcast it.
Oh, and, right on. Broadcast the program live. Good. Simulcast.
Fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But we got a lot set up, and we got a you know, a lot of entertainers that want to perform. We can't get everybody, but we're trying to pull in as many as we can.
Sure.
We have a sister DJ, and she's ready to go in between. What's her name? DJ Mama Wata.
All right. Right on, Mama. Yes,
right on.
Yeah, we got her there. And then, of course, we got the Black Sustainability Network is going to be there. They're going to have some electric cars that people can test drive and ride around in.
Oh,
and,
wow. Okay.
We're doing some other stuff as well. And we got a real good lineup for the wellness areas, leaders of health, massages, and you know, information about detoxing, you know, products that are available for people to purchase. And then we have, of course, the Sprout Land. It's they're going to have horseback riding. They're going to have a puppet show. They're going to have a musician there.
Beautiful for the children. Yeah,
and a lot on craft activities for the children. The line, I'm going to let my daughter keep sitting here and listen, tell you what the lineup is.
Greetings, this is Solani. So we have Katie Mill, who is a beautiful songstress. She'll be performing. We have Rory, amazing talent, well known. Myself will be performing, and Rastafunk. His band will be here, and we've got Groove E Masters that'll be doing a jazz set at the end to round us out. And we have a host of other drumming and dancing troops and groups. Lumbo, of course, will be there this
Columbo,
year.
Yes.
The new Black Scouts will be there as well. And CSK Preparatory Academy will be there as well, doing Each One Teach One will be there as well. So we have a lot of students and parents that will be coming in to be there with us. So it'll be great.
Ashe. I look forward to it. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be beautiful. Yes.
Yeah. We can always use volunteers. They will be well fed if they come in early.
Okay. Okay, my sister. All right. All right, Mama Nubantu. The Collard Green Festival this Saturday. And it's going to be at what is the church in Decatur?
I'm sorry, what was that?
What is the church? Where's the venue at?
Oh yeah, it's First Baptist Church. I think it's 308 Claremont Avenue, right across from Bank of America, not too far from a hotel, right about two blocks from the train station. So
okay.
Right in the middle of the city. It's a good place to get to. It's an easy place to get to.
Right on. Right on. Look forward to it.
So we start, you know, at noon. We will be there at 8 o'clock.
Okay. Okay. And let's hope that, you know, the storm that is happening right now here in Atlanta, it's raining right. Hard. I mentioned when I first came on at 11 a.m. Eastern time, the sun was out. And now it is raining hard. So,
yeah,
and it's going to continue
here,
to do so.
And the sun is coming back out.
Yeah.
But they say it's going to start up again at 3.
Sure.
So we'll see what happens. But we do have a contingency plan in case, you know, it rains, although they say it's not going to rain. But just in case, we do have a contingency plan.
Ashe. All right, Mama Nubantu. Thank you, dear.
All right. Thank you for this opportunity.
All right.
All right.
Thank you, Mama Babatu.
All right. Mm-hmm. Sister Habia, good afternoon. How you doing, sister?
Man, rising. Oh, it's afternoon now. Hello?
Yes,
can you hear me?
We can hear you. Go ahead.
Yeah, so,
I can hear you.
The show has been wonderful. I'm agreeing so much with you and Brother Herb. I mean, the truths have been just empowering. And I want to shout out to Mama Nubantu, that Collard Green Festival. I'm just giving Ashe for that. You know, we want all our people to come support it. And it's very iconic and legendary. And give a shout out to my sister, Mama Nubantu is my Jagna. Taught me everything I know back in California. And she moved the Collard Green Festival from California. I mean, they're doing it there, and she's bringing it here to us in Atlanta. And it is just a wonderful event. So I'm just echoing, inviting everyone to come.
Right on. Okay.
And her ice cream is the best. Oh, that Collard Green ice cream is the best. You know,
yeah, it is. It's good.
It's symbolic of all the love, you know, in the community coming together. So I wanted to give a shout out for that. And thank you, Mama Nabatu, for being such a revolutionary and bringing us so much love and so much insight and Pan-Africanism for Paris.
All right. All right,
yeah,
my sister.
I have something else I wanted to say, too.
Sure, go ahead, dear.
Now, also, you know, talk to Mama Yah, and I don't know if you're aware, Baba Ruti lost his mother.
No.
So she's calling, you know, and you know how much we love Baba Ruti on this program, but she's calling for the family and the community to send their love and their well wishes for healing and peace.
So
we're just holding her up.
Yes.
And wanted to give it, you know, a special word because it's hard to lose a mama. And that was a great one. And Baba Baruti, you know, we're just holding up him and the whole family.
Ashe.
And may her transition be smooth.
Mm-hmm. All right. Definitely keep
it.
All right, my sister.
One last thing. Now, this Marcella Williams, you know, we're talking about the atrocities of Trump. I'm tired of hearing about Trump, but the whole system is corrupt. You know about the brother that they murdered him last night? I don't know if you spoke about that today.
I think I mentioned something on Marcellus Williams and how that happened and the fact that those Caucasians who pulled those guns on the protesters in St. Louis, Missouri, how they were exonerated. You know, their sins were commuted. And yet, this brother who has been fighting and the evidence against him was really weak. But yet...
It was weak. No DNA evidence. And
right.
DNA especially, evidence that excluded him from being the culprit.
And especially in today's time. I could see if this happened in the 60s. But the technology has been there. This happened in the 90s. The technology is there. And yet they don't have it. And yet they want to go ahead and continue to kill this man.
And killed him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's such an atrocity. The system is just a fraud. It's corrupt. And he was a good brother, too. I heard he was a imam in the prison. And, you know, set up the jury that they had, they was kicking out the black people, so it would just be an all-white jury against his brother. And I think maybe one brother. So it's an atrocity. And so, you know, I'm calling his name. And people was fighting. NAACP was on it. Kalaji Brown with the, you know, the Supreme Court. She was one of the few members. The rest of them all condemned the brother and the governor. But, you know, it's like y'all were saying, Babylon is wicked. United States, the system is real crooked.
That's right. It is what it is. Yep. All right, my sister.
Yeah. I say to that brother, you know, much condolences of what's going on with him.
All right, my sister. Yeah. Peace.
Thank you. I said.
All right. What'd you say, sister? I missed you. I'm sorry.
I think she just signed off.
Okay.
Yeah. Good to hear her voice.
Yeah. She's a good sister in the community. Her mom
and you know, Baba Oshi, when someone transitions, It to me, it's just the ministry of presence. In other words, what I mean by that is, you know, that once someone transitions, there's no way we can bring them back. But what we can do is be there for the person who has lost someone. In other words, just a phone call or even to come and see them, just to speak with them. That's the ministry of presence, just to be there. I flew up there because he lost his mom. Well, you know, you can't physically bring the person back, but you actually can give them comfort when they know that you care about their pain, you care about their loss, because transitioning is a beautiful thing, but it's very. I lost my dad. I just lost my parent when I was in my 60s, and it just blew me. I never understood it until I had to walk that walk, and when I walked it, it's a walk you walk by yourself.
Yeah.
And you, no matter who comes, you're still walking by yourself, and it's. it changes you. It changes your life. It makes you think of things a little different. And I feel for the whoever it was that lost someone. So I'm glad she called. It's good to hear her voice.
Ashe.
Those. I heard about the guy who was executed the other day, and how it was very interesting. It's very interesting that we don't make up that much of the population, but yet we make up death row. We don't make up that much of the population, but yet we make up the prison population. Yeah. It's amazing how neither one of the candidates is talking about the mass incarceration. Mm. Neither one of the candidates, but they quick to tell you how much they love Israel, but they never talk about how these people are. The justice system only works for those who can buy it. I guess that's how it works. I don't know, Baba Ochi.
It is how it works.
I mean, Trump, and you said something really quickly about. I know you want to get to another call. You said something that was so it stuck into me. You said that this particular candidate has criminality. Those two words have never been linked together, a presidential candidate and criminality. That doesn't make sense, Baba Oshie.
Well, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make rational sense, but it makes sense in terms of how this society has been run since its inception, how devious and dogmatic it can be and conniving it can be. And so here is a candidate who has done all these things that this man has done, proven that this man has done, and the lies, the continue perpetual lies that this man consistently tells, you know, I mean, he's habitual. It's ridiculous. Nobody should be able to lie like that and be anything, you know. It's ridiculous. And the fact that you have millions of people who are willing to vote for him and support him. You have an ignorant population, his base support, who are willing to vote for this man. And although, you know, these people who are, they're marginally on the margins, they're not rich. But right. Yet they believe him so that they even say the things that he said back in 2016, that I can shoot somebody on in Manhattan on Fifth Avenue or in Times Square, and I can still get elected. The Caucasian said it the other day in a thing, one of the rallies, he said if Donald Trump had to shoot somebody and kill him, I'd still vote for him. And one of the main things they're saying is that his main thing is there's two things about Trump that these Caucasians like about him and or support him on, immigration and the economy. Immigration right. And the economy. Well, he didn't do anything for either one, and that's a bold-faced lie. About he took over an economy that was built by Barack Obama.
That's correct.
In his 8 years, you know? So, I mean, this is ridiculous, man. This really is. And if he wins, and it's a good possibility that he could win, it really is. That's how pathetic and sad that is. It's a good possibility that he could win. I don't think he will because he shouldn't. There should be no way in hell he should get one vote. As corrupt as he is, he shouldn't get a vote. But there are millions of people who are willing. And the other thing is that, yes, family, what bothers me most is these Negroes, these young men who are willing to support him because of some perception that he's a gangster. And I'm a gangster, too. Shit, no damn gangster. He is a lying, robbing, cheating son of a bitch. That's what he is. You know?
No, you get no pushback from me, brother. You are right on point with what you're saying. And when you see capitalism on steroids, this is what it produces.
Yes.
It produces a spineless, bully who would be nothing without the perceived money that he has. He would be absolutely nobody. But because he is perceived to have money, and he apparently has turned his money into influence, he is able to bullshit his way to the White House.
Yes.
Let's say what it is. It's not just Trump. These people have jumped on board with this guy. And you look at the people who are supporting Trump. They seem to be fanatics, don't mm-hmm. they, Baba
yeah.
Oshie?
Yeah.
But then you look at the people who are supporting Kamala. They seem the same damn way. And she doesn't even spout out stupid foolishness. Her words are still undercover. She mm-hmm. still keeps on the low. She mm-hmm. says absolute. She can talk for an hour and say absolutely nothing, but Obama did the same thing, and so did Bush. Come on now.
Yeah, they all
and
do.
So did Bush.
Yeah.
But Trump is not refined because he's actually an idiot. He's not refined. Yeah. He has no coof. No. He doesn't know that you gotta give him a little sugar in order to get what you want. He comes straight out. You know, I don't yeah. like you. If I think it, I say it.
Yeah.
And that makes him unlikable. But Kamala's not saying anything of substance. I'm not going to do nothing for just black people. I don't want to talk about reparations. And we say, well, that's all right. Well, and I'm going to make sure that all the black women can kill all their babies the next day, because we don't want you to have them children. We don't want your men in the family. Don't want you to have children. We want you to get into the justice system. But we need your Social Security number so you can pay these taxes, because that's how I get paid.
Yeah.
That's how we, and then you got to, I want dual citizenship. Unless you get dual citizenship with Israel, you ain't getting dual citizenship with nobody else. Why don't we have dual citizenship to our homeland? Jews got dual citizenship to their homeland.
Of course. I mean, you can get it, because there are some Africans that in the last 10 years who have moved to Africa and established dual citizenship. I'm not sure of all the countries. I know Ghana is one, Nigeria is another. Might be Tanzania. I'm not sure.
Isn't that something, Baba Oshie, that we don't even know? Most people don't even know why Africa is chopped up the way it is.
Yeah.
But no, Baba Oshie, these things should be taught in school. I shouldn't have to get 50 years old before I understand that my homeland is Africa. The Jew finds out that his homeland is Israel out the born.
That's right, out of the birth canal.
And because he's never been to
Israel, for sure.
Because he's never been to Israel doesn't mean he's not Jewish. Some people have never been to Africa. You're still African.
Yeah.
African. Look at your skin, fool. Look at the pigment in your skin. So what you think, you German? What you think, you Irish? Think about it. Just think about what you're saying. If you can be manipulated to vote for a Kamala Harris theme, because I think that's a married name, Erstein or Hersberg, one of them. Well, she married to a Jew. Or you can be manipulated to vote for an orange savior, Donald Trump. Why can't you be manipulated to learn your homeland and where you're from? Mm-hmm. And then you'll start to realize that all the things that these Caucasians give you, they stole, brother. They didn't make anything up. They were living in caves. We've had this conversation, Baba Oshie.
Yeah.
But they refuse to tell our people that, because it will empower you. It will empower you. And we have to keep Africa poor. We have to keep Africa thinking they can't take care of themselves. We can't build them any roads or any factories or anything other than something consumerism, and we must teach them individualism.
But see, the thing is this, Brother Irv, is that the fact is that if Africa comes together, they can do all those things themselves. We can build highways, we can build ports, we can build schools, we can build subdivisions and cities and so forth. We can run the railroad that would go from the inner part of Africa through all the areas of ports and so forth. We can do all of those things. All of that is in our ability to do it right now. Right now. Yeah. But yet, we've been led to believe that we can't do nothing. That we running around a jungle with a rag up our ass and a bone through our nose, waiting for Europeans to come and bring us civilization, and they brought us nothing but destruction. Let me catch this, brother.
Go ahead, yeah.
Hey, Brother Ted Lusk.
Brother Ted.
Hey. Good day, Brother Irv. Good day, Brother Oshie. How y'all feeling?
We're doing good, man.
Great.
I'm just enjoying the conversation right now. I'm multitasking, but I'm enjoying it nonetheless. And, Brother Irv, you brought up a point that, you know, I've often always wondered about how countries have been formed on the continent of Africa, right?
Mm-hmm.
What makes the Congo and its demographic, its shape, different from that of, say, Kenya?
Right.
I never really thought about it until you brought that up. You kind of struck a little nerve in me when you had mentioned that. And I'm saying, you know, that's just like the United States, right? The shape of Louisiana being that of what it is, and the shape of Mississippi and Alabama being the shapes of what they are.
Right.
So it's just so interesting that we don't really focus our attention on anything like that. Maybe wait until it's too late, right? And so as we get older, will it ever matter at all, right? So just thank you for that, bringing that point up. But I'm listening to the conversation and learning through the multitasking, through the listening. But
Right on.
Thank you, my brother.
Thank you, Brother Ted.
No. Thank you, Ted. Really quickly, Osha, I know you want to pull someone else up. I do know that the reason for the boundary lines in the United States, every line you see in the United States, every state stops and this one starts, every one of those lines is a disagreement. That's why you have different states, South Dakota, North Dakota, all those are disagreements. These white people, they can't get along with each other. So they set up barriers. So now I have my own state, and then you have your own state. Mm-hmm. And you know, like I know, the Berlin Conference, I think that's what it was called.
Yes.
That was what happened with Africa. Africa was chopped up by corporations and countries to feed themselves, to steal, and to take. And now they are – now I believe the fake independence that they gave Africa, and I call it fake, it's really neocolonialism, when you're using their money and putting your money in their banks and they're sending you aid, mm-hmm. but they're not building anything. So now everything's changing. Burkina Faso is changing everything.
Well, let's hope that Niger, Burkina Faso, and Mali, and many other come together, and more African countries come together and put the pressure on neocolonial leadership to get them people out of there. Because the question that if let's say, for instance, we go into a country and you know that this country has mineral wealth, but yet the people are in abject poverty, and the leadership is living large. And so then we question that. We should come in there and question and get their ass out, even if it's a family. They've been there for a few hundred, and out.
That's right.
Get their ass out. You know, take your ass to Europe. Take your ass to the United States. Take your ass to Australia. Get the hell out. And the boundary lines need to be redrawn. These boundary lines were created, at the Berlin Conference, you know?
That's right.
And so we need to develop regional areas, larger regional areas, you know, with different cultural groups. I respect those who are Igbo and those who are Ashanti and so forth. I respect that, but what's most important that you're African. It's not the fact that you Nigerian, no, or Cameroonian, no. You are African, and we need to develop boundary lines that will give us strength. Not a little small boundary lines. We need to develop boundary lines that will help us more come together and develop in that area. So that's what we need to do, and the sooner the better. But I'll say this. It has to happen, because if it doesn't happen, we're done. Let me catch
this caller.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Turn your radio down.
I don't think they hear you.
Hey, Osi.
Yeah, well, turn your radio down.
I'm trying to turn it on. What's going on, brothers? I'm sorry. I just walked in the house, man, and turned the show on, man.
Okay.
What is your great discussion of today? What are y'all brothers pontificating on?
Well, this is Brother Irv, you know. He's the co-host. And so, you know, when Brother Irv co-hosts, He just takes it and runs with it, and I'm
falling
behind.
That's why I asked you, what was y'all pontificating on?
Current events.
What I want to talk about is really quickly, really, I'll read a short answer, Jay. They had Judge Joe Brown on Elliot's show. Why did you call Judge Joe Brown and ask him what did he think about Kamala? You knew doggone well what he thought about Kamala. You
right.
were just trying to open a can of worms, Jay,
yeah.
and get him going off, because it don't take much to get Brother Joe Brown to go off.
I think in all fairness, Irv, I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't know Joe Brown had such an issue with her. I guess she must have turned him down and he couldn't get over it, the way he behaved. I mean, I think that's just the truth of the matter. You know, he shot his shot, and, you know, she turned him down. He may have been a little too young for it at the time. You know what I mean? So the thing is this. Joe Brown, I put it to you like this. Some things I could get with Joe with, and
right.
some things I don't know if it's true or not.
I agree.
But all I can say is this. He's someone that's been in a lot of spaces and a lot of places, and
right.
on the whole, I think he's done some good work. I think he's a very fair individual. He's not a Umar Johnson or some of the rest. I think he just basically sees the world more maybe in the conspiracy theorist view. And I may be wrong about that. But, I mean, he's the type of person you listen to with a grain of salt, just like Umar and others. I mean, he's doing what he's doing. And the thing is, if 90% of the things that he say is truthful, you got to really question a lot of things then.
Yeah. He said some very powerful things, and I would never, first of all, I'm never going to argue with the brother on the air, but I would, I like the fact that he's doing something. Getting on this radio and talking and talking to people that you know, but when you actually have something you can say you've done, that you put your heart into and you followed through, because it's about follow through, Brother Jay. We could talk all day long, but if you ain't following through, then you never finish anything. That's what so impressed me with American Africans when we go to Arugu to get educated by our oppressor, which is crazy to me. But we finish. You know, you ever see a brother that goes to school and he does 4 years and he comes out with a little degree, or a guy goes to a vocational program and he gets his certificate? He's an electrician, a welder, a plumber. To finish something, go to follow something through. And that's what American Africans need to know, that you can finish it, start it and finish it. You know, I went in the military and I've been there for 4 years. But when I first got there, Bob Oshie and Jay, I said, man, I don't know if I can make 4 years. And you know, like I know, because I think we're a little, all of us are over 30 years old, over 40. Time is not waiting for anybody. If you're going to do it yesterday. Don't do it today, do it yesterday. Because we have work to do. And Jay, I listen to you when you call other shows, and I listen to what you bring to the conversation. And I'm telling you, man, I don't want you to stop. I want you to keep saying what you feel. People may not agree with you, but I think that you're making a difference, and people are hearing things that you're saying, and they take what they can use and they leave the rest. You know,
which is what they should do. Which is what they should do.
The deal is this. As you get older, your perspective change. And when you men like me, you, and OC, who don't have to worry about the white man cutting us
yes.
off at the knees
right.
because we're financially secure enough to take care of ourselves. The next thing now is to place the babies in a position to get to where we are today. So I've been doing a lot of research on this whole government situation of working overseas, getting these kids, you know, government clearance in regards to maybe they can work overseas and encouraging these kids to do things like learn the trade that will allow them to be able to go around the world. Now, I didn't know until a couple of months ago that the government, as quiet as kept, in IT field, hire more people than private sector does. I didn't know that. Now, the thing is, a lot of people don't understand that a lot of these government jobs, once you get clearance, if you have certain certificates and things of that nature, and you could get someone to sponsor you, which really is probably hard, but then not again hard, depending on who you link up with, you could really get in a situation to where as you 20 years old, you got government clearance and you could get an entry-level job overseas, you're going to make tax-free money. And from there, you have to be able to put that into practice of building wealth. And in 10 years, if you're consistent and you invest properly, you'll be a millionaire. Mm-hmm. You'll be a millionaire at 30 years old. And it ain't as hard as one would think, but you got to have someone educating you, sponsoring you, and giving you the idea, and then you got to implement it. So if I see any 16, 17-year-old kid today that's in the IT, I'm going to tell him, look, go get your A-plus first, then look into what field you may want to get into, coding, cybersecurity, networking, and then what you do is you start getting those certificates. And in the process, you figure out how you can get government clearance. And listen, it may take a year, it may take two. But the thing is, imagine you at 19 years old having a couple of certificates with government clearance, and you be able to get that entry-level position to go to another country. Listen, you're going to make $100,000, at low end maybe $80,000 if you're in IT. You're going to get a car, free room and board, and a food allowance. And you're going to get money to go to wherever country you are going through the government. Now, as an 18, 19-year-old, come on, man. You go on an 11-year run at over $100,000 tax-free? Come on.
And Bubba Jay, more than that, you know that we can't buy our way to equality. Even if we buy all the things that white people have, houses and cars and boats, we still are going to be looked upon as the N-word to Arugu. And as long as when the young people that you're judging it to, you plant that seed of knowing who you are and knowing where you're from. So when they get that money, you can be a free thinker. But when you don't have any money, you got to go along with Arugu. You got to be quiet and shut up because you're working at his job. You're doing whatever he tells you for your money to get your food, to eat, to take care of your family. So we also have to have a balance in that. Yeah, I want them to make money. Yeah, I want them to be successful. But I also want them to have knowledge of self. Know who you are. Know that when you get to my age or maybe when you get to a point where you feel as though you can make moves for your people, because this is about helping each other. I'm not on this radio to make no one person rich. I'm here to make our culture rich, rich in knowledge and knowing who we are. Because it's very important that you know that you are from Mother Africa. It's very important, regardless of how much money you got. I mean, you look at these entertainers who have all this money, and they fall from grace, well, white people's grace, because I never thought it was, well, worship nobody that gets up and shakes their butt and got on draws and all this foolishness. But the point I'm making is we also have to make sure at the same time we're telling our young people to get a skill and have a vocation to know who you are. Because at the end of the day, money won't get you the power or respect that you may think it does. Oh, it'll give you power and respect. But knowing who you are is something that's in you. See, I'm African. I'm African all day, every day. I sleep African. I eat African. I'm African. I wear African clothing. I'm changing my name because this slave name that I have bothers me. It reminds me of the woman who wears the white woman's hair on her head. She wears her oppression on her head. And when I say my name, Oyvind, my name's Oyvind. You know, Oyvind from New Jersey. I'm not Oyvind. Who the hell's Oyvind? See, I'm an old Jewish man. So my point is, we have to, even in them doing that, we have to make sure they understand who knowledge
right.
is.
Right. That's a doubt. That's the bottom line.
Irv, now you know me. Irv, you know me well enough to know I never not push culture on these babies. That's the first thing, man. I don't, you know, I'm just talking about trying to get them to a point to where they become independent. But it's always culture with me first. So, you know, I hear what you're saying, but don't worry about that with me, man. I don't like white folks. I let them know immediately. I can't stand them. So the thing is, I just want them to get to be able to do the right thing, brother.
Right on.
Thank you, Jay.
All right,
Jay. Thank you, brother.
All right, brother.
All right.
Yeah. Well, we only have a few more minutes, man. So
yeah.
I appreciate you always being here for me, man, and co-hosting with me at times that we do, and what you bring to the program, Brother Irv. I really do, man. And so, you know, we're trying our best to wake our people up, man, trying to put our people on the path to self-determination, mm-hmm. liberation, and sovereignty. Mm-hmm.
You're making a difference, Papa Oshie, and I'm glad to be a part of it. And I appreciate you letting me on the show mm-hmm. and letting me say what I have to say, and whether people agree with me or not. At the end of the day, I'm not here to make any enemies. I'm only here to get friends that I haven't met yet. And uh-huh. also, if I can spew a little bit of this knowledge that I have, which is wisdom, over the years that I've been on this planet, I've seen things happen over and over again. So Irugu doesn't excite me. He doesn't surprise me. Irugu just keeps going from the same playbook. And we done figured that out, Baba Oshie.
Right.
Just by the fact that you're on the radio. We figured right. that out. We got this.
Mm-hmm. And I'm thankful to Brother Ralph. Because it was Brother Ralph when I was on Blog Talk Radio who heard my program. And began to contribute to it and introduced me to Brother Elliot. And I jumped on Brother Elliot's program. I brought some people with me, Dr. Rogers and Us Lifting Us and so forth, you know, and to strengthen Time for an Awakening. And unfortunately, Time for an Awakening only has a few programs to date. And it should have a lot more. But it is what it is. And I've been doing a program 3 days a week since this time, you know, 10 years. And
wow.
Yeah. And so I'm blessed and I'm fortunate, you know, but I want to make sure this platform is what it is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. It is about independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. And the motto of this program is Pan-Africanism or perish, unify or die. And that's real. That's sincere. It's committed. Because the fact that when you look at it, if it doesn't happen, that's what will happen to us. And so it's a struggle because we're at war for the minds of our people. And these crackers got a vice grip on our minds. And that's why I've always said this program, you know, to raise that consciousness is like if that vice grip is on your mind, you just can't open it up. You know, you just can't open and pop it. No, that's not going to happen. There's that knob at the end of the handle of the vice grip. And to turn that knob, you need knowledge of self. You need the confidence. You need all of that. And the more you obtain, the more that knob turns till finally you can release the pressures off. You can release it and open up the vice grip on your mind. Your mind now is clear. But not that you challenge Caucasians. To hell with them. Is that you begin to love yourself and love each other so we can get our asses up out of this madness. You don't have to leave America.
But your mind must leave America. Your mind must be about unifying Africa and unifying African people. You don't have to go there, you know, but that's you must right. make sure that that's what happens. So it's that time, brother. Got anything? Got some last sir. Words? Yes, it's that yeah, time. The clock on the wall.
Thank you for having me on. Just thank you for having me on the show. Thank you so much. And let's just end it the way we always end it. Go on, my brother.
All right. We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure the hell, damn it, don't want to pay for. So, brothers and sisters, let us come together and work hard to make that happen. Shem Hotep, that means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Abibi Fahodie is our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a blessed and wonderful day. See you on Friday, family. Peace.
Viva Hodier, that was great. Yeah. That was great, Baba Rush.